How Colorado Conservatives Can Unite with Unaffiliated Voters, by Pam Long. For the past decade, medical freedom has been my primary issue. Historically, medical freedom was a nonpartisan issue. That changed with the controversy over the pandemic mandate of an experimental vaccine. Medical freedom unites allies who are Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, and Independents. These friendships have given me a unique perspective on the messaging weaknesses of the Republican Party in Colorado. The main criticism from non-Republicans is that the party assumes that voters should use an evangelical Christian worldview to make decisions. Republican candidates use messaging with language narrowly focused on Christian voters and party insiders, which falls apart in the public arena right after the party assembly that chooses state candidates. This is not realistic strategy in a purple state to win elections. Unaffiliated voters overwhelmingly vote with the Democratic Party in Colorado. Evangelical Christians overwhelmingly do not vote. Up to 60% of evangelicals are not even registered to vote in Colorado. The COGOP strategy must adapt to winning the unaffiliated voters. A growing number of independent voters reject progressive policies of the Democrat Party, but yet still have not been won over to the Republican Party due to alienating messaging. This article will address how Republican strategy could adapt to be more inclusive of independent voters. Being right is not enough to win. In Feds for Freedom podcast 103, Morton Blackwell of the Leadership Institute, which teaches college students to champion conservative values, declares, "Being right is not sufficient to win." First, he describes a moral majority that is waiting to be organized. Philosophically aligned people can be found among fiscally conservative independents and among limited government libertarians, but they need encouragement to get involved in the Republican Party. Second, we have a duty to our values to study proven and effective strategies for victory in public policy, because otherwise the opposition wins. Third, he explains what wins: the number of effective activists, recruit, train, activate, and the political technology, using like-minded organizations and charismatic leaders to communicate the platform and raise money. Regarding pastors who have taken the position that their congregations have no role in politics, Blackwell pushes back on apathy when the government attacks traditional values. He gave an example of a pastor who routinely asked all congregants over age 18 to stand up, and for those registered to vote to sit back down, and then ushers handed the unregistered adults a voter registration card with an explanation that it is their duty to get involved in public policy. Blackwell claims that moral indignation is the strongest force in politics. Republicans can unite both secular and religious voters who share the common ground of moral outrage. Another key group of voters is college students. Blackwell rejects that they lean left and instead asserts that they are inherently politically apathetic. When conservative and libertarian college students are made aware of clubs that share their values of limited government, free enterprise, strong national defense, and traditional values, then they grow into activism and a voter bloc. From my experience, the absence of college students and young conservatives in the Colorado Republican caucus and assembly process is noticeable. Two worldviews of realism and nominalism. Realism and nominalism provide a framework to discuss politics with voters who do not hold a Christian worldview. Realism is a doctrine that claims the world has universal truths, and that people organize the world by objectively real structures which are independent of individual perception. Realism is the foundation for natural law and theology. Realists believe in good and evil and an objective morality. Sometimes, but not always, clergy are their worldview leaders. The opposing philosophy, nominalism, is a doctrine that claims that the world is subjective to the individual with a subjective morality. People invent names and mental constructs, and by changing names, definitions, and categories, people can change reality. Nominalism is the foundation for atheism, hedonism, utilitarianism, Marxism, and authoritarianism. Nominalists believe that people are motivated by increasing pleasure and reducing pain, and scientists become their leaders. This scientific optimism leads to a belief that scientists can socially engineer behavior to make progress towards utopia on Earth with less pain and more pleasure, and people should comply with scientific authority. My perspective is that unaffiliated voters largely reject Democrat progressivism, but the Republican messaging has not articulated in persuasive language the value in voting with realists and the dangers of voting with nominalists. The language needed is an ethical framework which avoids demonizing and shaming people who are not Christians and who are not Republicans. High-intensity social issues, abortion and gender dysphoria. In almost every debate, Republican candidates are asked the question, if you are elected, would you support banning abortion? This question is baiting a response to indicate that the candidate intends to criminalize abortion, even when there is no legislative or legal path for the candidate to ban abortion. There are many anti-infanticide voters among the unaffiliated, but Republicans lose their votes with the tone of criminalizing women with the hypothetical ban responses. Two worldviews are listening to the candidate's response. The realist believes that humans birth baby humans. Therefore, the baby is a human at conception and should be protected. The nominalist believes that if you rename the baby a fetus or cells, then you can change the reality of ending a baby's life in abortion. Nominalists have been influenced by Planned Parenthood constructs. Republicans must reclaim language based in reality. You can vote with the Democrat Party of Planned Infanticide, or you can vote for the Republican Party which protects women, children, and the family from pregnancy to natural death. Rational voters will not identify as pro-infanticide and will align with secular language based in reality. Agreement with secular voters on this issue could include compassionate information to support life, such as resources for low-income families, employer support for maternity leave, educating women on the emotional and physical trauma from the abortion procedure, education on physical pain to the baby in the abortion process, access to contraceptives, education on ovulation, baby care education for new mothers and fathers, and options for adoption. Offering life-affirming resources is more persuasive than posturing to criminalize people. Republicans have traded relationship building for campaign slogans, and these slogans can disenfranchise voters. Partnerships with aligned nonprofits would be a better strategy. And how should we discuss gender dysphoria? A realist views gender as based in biology with sex organs and chromosomes. A nominalist views gender as a social construct that can be changed by surgical alterations and by change of a person's name and clothes. This is another area where Republicans have an opportunity to unite with unaffiliated voters with rational messaging. First, stop using the nominalist invented term of transgender and reclaim the term gender dysphoria, which is a mental illness. Rational people do not support surgical and hormone altering of children. Second, medical experts and scientists can be corrupted for profit, and therefore a political party that demands compliance with corrupted science is authoritarian, not affirming. Republicans must clearly communicate party differences such as, you can vote with the Democrat Party of Mental Illness and Social Engineering, or you can vote for the Republican Party and Biological Reality Third. Messaging must avoid demonizing homosexual adults in their private lives and instead should focus on protecting the innocence of children. The success of MAHA. Colorado is home to thousands of independent voters who would have cast their vote for Robert F. Kennedy, Jr. for president in 2024. These are rational voters who understand corruption in science and public health. These are voters who prioritize protecting children from state mandates and unchecked industries. The MAHA voters were the critical swing vote for President Trump. The Make America Healthy Again Coalition is an example to follow in uniting unaffiliated voters with rational policy positions. As Secretary of HHS, Kennedy has demonstrated productive dialogues with elected leaders who do not embrace his affiliations, and he has inspired corporate leaders across food industries to adopt higher standards for health without overly criticizing companies for past policies. The MAHA movement is the best example in modern politics of building an effective and diverse coalition with relationship building and a charismatic leader. Rights. The realist views rights in relation to natural law, parental rights, medical decision-making rights, self-defense rights, and in relation to work and skill, property rights. Violations of rights are theft. The nominalist views rights as what you can take, with the government in control of deciding rights. For example, a nominalist would support free health care and free college. In reality, none of these programs are free, but rather are funded by the government theft of tax dollars of private citizens for special interests. Because economic issues are historically more important to voters than social issues, Republicans should prioritize economic issues on the party platform. Republicans in Colorado need to clearly show that the unsustainable fiscal policies of the Democrat Party under Governor Polis have made Colorado unaffordable. Furthermore, theft should be the overarching messaging on every issue in the platform because rational people understand and oppose theft. The proposed platform would offer freedom over authoritarianism and then expose every issue in terms of theft with the following Democrat agendas: theft of small business by minimum wage mandates and restrictions, theft of income through fees, authoritarian taxes, and doubling of property taxes, theft of energy and agriculture by pseudoscience climate goals, theft of security by open borders, theft of safety by gun control laws, theft of parental rights with minor consent laws, theft of female sports with gender dysphoric male competitors, theft of bodily rights under experimental vaccine mandates, theft of life by full-term abortion targeting Black and Latino families, and theft of the Colorado way of life by ending open meeting laws with authoritarian rule by unelected boards and commissions stacked with Democrat members. The Colorado GOP. Currently, if a person visits the Colorado GOP website, there is a big headline about the spending of Governor Jared Polis. To a party outsider, this is non-persuasive because most people would expect a governor to spend large sums of money for a state government. But if the headline were to expose theft, then outsiders might be persuaded to consider the proposed arguments because everyone opposes theft. Also, it is a missed opportunity that the Colorado GOP website currently does not have a link to the Republican Party platform for unaffiliated voters to read. How do unaffiliated voters read Republican policy positions? Through mainstream media sound bites? Even worse, the RNC 2024 platform is written with language that shames and blames anyone outside of the Republican Party. In my opinion, the pictures of President Trump in the RNC platform document are not strategic optics because the party's core values are distinct from any one person's politics. In summary, the party messaging is not accessible and written in a way that would attract unaffiliated voters. Prior to the next election cycle, the Republican Party should revisit the political climate during the first 6 months of 2025. President Trump's DOGE was cutting millions of dollars in every government agency. Democrats could not defend fraud and waste, which is theft of taxpayer dollars. Democrats only pushed back strongly in the area of health and human services. FDA's food and drug oversight cuts, CDC's public health cuts, and NIH's biomedical research cuts. In April 2025, Democrats formed a pact from 23 states to sue HHS to stop $11 billion in cuts. A similar, less vocal Democrat pact lawsuit was filed against funding cuts in the Department of Education. I suggest that Democrats fervently defend the health agencies because these are led by scientists, or the nominalists' secular equivalent of clergy. This worldview is reflected in a February 2025 Time headline: Experts call NIH budget cuts an apocalypse for science. The alleged apocalypse cut millions in NIH funding for bizarre studies such as if Japanese quail are more sexually promiscuous on cocaine. The priority of social engineering in progressive policy is confirmed in the countless articles in 2025 about Trump's war on science. Health and education are the primary institutions implementing social engineering agendas. The current political climate demands a distinction that the Democrat Party is authoritarian and focused on social engineering, while the Republican Party protects freedom and is focused on a rational, moral majority. Conclusion. There is room for improvement in Republican messaging. There are issues in which Republicans take irrational opposition, such as claims that cannabis is the gateway to crime and depravity, which is anecdotal and demonstrably false. There are also Republican issues with cringe-worthy optics, such as female candidates in sexy poses with weapons. These pictures do not convey self-defense. And there are Republican issues in which delivery of the most compelling arguments are lost to witch hunt messaging instead of focusing on the inhumane nature of illegal immigration to sanctuary cities in cold climates. Some readers might criticize my suggestions as diluting our values, while losing elections makes those values non-existent in a state government that desperately needs a return to center and balance. I am suggesting speaking a language that resonates with the surrounding culture. How do we discuss important issues in secular language without shaming and demonizing? How do we appeal to people who do not make decisions based on Christianity? How do we build relationships with people who also want a rational and moral government? We need to rethink our temperament, arguments, and approach. The current reality of Colorado Republican candidates is that they have been more focused on winning the party politics, not winning over the people of Colorado. This requires humility, persuasion, and relationship building with unaffiliated voters.